make the decision. The first not moving in a relative routine, not taken up by the pace. And then the second midah is Zrizus. First glance, Zehirus and Zrizus are complementary ideas. The Ramchal sees them as Zehirus, taking care, refers to distancing oneself from things that one should not be doing, from Lavan, from Yisurim. And Zrizus is the attitude towards Asay, towards mitzvahs. Right? Lechora, that is, we should look at it and understand the Ramchal in a deeper way. And this very much relates to what we said, B'Shem Rav Hutner, about in Parshas Yisro. Alright, you'll see in a moment. L'chora, Zerizus and Zehirus are complementary. Zehirus is taking care. Zehirus is being slow. Right? Being pensive, thinking things out, thoughtful, work things out, plot one's moves, see where things are going after a while. Before one makes a commitment to figure things out as to where they're leading, where they're going. Making a decision right now, not just in the here and now, but how is it going to impact on me later on? And Zehirus. Zerizus is the opposite. Zerizus is moving quickly. So at first glance, in a Western kind of mindset, the two could be seen as contradictory. One is thoughtful and plotting, both plotting and plotting, and the other is impetuous and rash. That's not what the Ramchal means to say. They're not contradictory. They're complementary. Zerizus is excitement. Zerizus is once I've made the decision, then to move forward. Right? Or once I know to what I'm committed to, then to move forward in Zerizus with inspiration, with excitement, with a passion. Right? The first line in the Shulchan Aruch is Zerizus. It's a very, very difficult midah to accomplish. Just like Zehirus is difficult to accomplish. Zehirus means one has to have in one's mind, one has to sort of break away from the pace of life. One has to be able to break away from the shigra, from the routine, and be able to stop and think. One has to be able to maintain a level of independence from the everything which one is caught up within. That's Zehirus. Zerizus is once I've made that commitment, then to go forward with the passion. And that is that's what we saw in Rav Hutner's idea, is that Yira is a limiting, is a restricting mode. And Ava is a expansive. Zehirus is a restricting mode of functioning. Zerizus is an expansive one. Zerizus is doing things with a full heart, with a fullness, with an excitement. That this is that once I know what I have to do, so then once I know about which I'm being Zeriz, that becomes the framework with which I function. That becomes the anchor to the moment. So the first, so the when you go through Perek Zayin Ches and Tes, describing Zerizus, Ches, Vinkona Zerizus, Tes, watching out for the pitfalls that delay Zerizus. So one sees that the that the Ramchal emphasizes how does one acquire Zerizus. The Perek Vav is describing what Zerizus is. Beginning towards the end of Perek Vav, and Nachum in Beinenu Kama Vakama Pam Shikavar Li Boshul Odom Yudeich Ovoso V'Nis Ameis Etzlo Masha Roy Latzolas Nasho U'Masha Chavolo Mitzad Baro. The Af Al Pikein Yani Cheyu. Person will sometimes know what he has to do, and it's clear to him. However, because he has he's not as committed to it as he should be. He doesn't see it as important as it should be. Therefore, the natural inclination of inertia, of atzlus, of procrastinating, of not being active, that becomes a deciding factor. That's what Zrizus is, to combat a natural tendency. Most of the Perek Vav is describing different Makoros that describe that. Zion points out that Zerizus has to be employed in two ways. One is the beginning of any issue, and number two is the upkeep, the maintenance of the issue. And then towards the end of Zion, he makes a very important point, one which comes up in Sefer Chinuch several times, and that is that Shekamosh Zerizus who toled as Haslatus Apnimi Kein Minaz Rizus Yivolei Haslatus, just as Rizus should emanate from an inner passion. So he says that, but the way that we acquire Rizus is by forging it through one's activities, by a person acting quickly and doing things with a speed or with an alacrity which may not yet be born out of an inner passion. That's how it creates an inner passion. And a person gets into the behavior of being a zoris, of taking care of things, and again, things that are important, of moving to do things. So that creates an inner passion, inner excitement. That's the Chinuch stresses several times that achreya pu'ulostim shechosim achshavos, that if we know what we want to accomplish, we can establish behaviors that will inculcate those ideas and make them part of our personality. So the Ramchal is pointing this out with respect to Zrizus as well. Something which is as passion and inspiration can be imposed, that we can, if we know that we want to acquire those Zrizus, then it is possible for us to acquire those Zrizus. When it can acquire inspiration by putting oneself in situations where one will be inspired, but one can acquire inspirations by mimicking the behaviors of an inspired person, and ultimately that will generate inspiration within ourselves. Even though at first it's shallow. At first, I'm adopting behaviors that are not genuine, not official, I should say. It's not genuine. But it will create a genuineness. That's the Ramchal's idea. Even when it comes to Zrizus, we know that a person who moves out of inspiration is a more cheerful, the happier person. Simcha comes out of goes together with his Slatus Apnimi, and grows together with the new inspiration. You look at different kinds of people. You look at the clearest way that you can see this. You look at a you don't want to generalize and put down something and criticize, but let's say you compare the average person who was uninspired before they went to Eretz Yisrael and comes back inspired. Right? The davening is a different davening. So one, if you put the two next to each other, one's davening is for shlofen, right? One's whole mode of life is often for shlofen, right? And that person's uninspired. You take a person, if you look around, you look in different situations, and you see a person who was committed to davening, you say they're both shomer mitzvahs. I'm not saying they're both shomer mitzvahs. They may have similar schedules, but one knows they have to be minyan. One knows they have to daven. But it's not an inspired davening. It's not. But he comes every day to davening. They're all thinking, right, "This is what he's supposed to do," right? And you compare that to a person who is inspired, when he's happy, what he's doing. So you see, it's a different tzuras hachayim, right? They may even if they accomplish similar, they won't. But one is a happier person, a cheerful person. He's moving. And one is for shlofen. One lives in a grind. His days grind out, looking forward to the next holiday weekend, right? Looking forward to the next Sunday, right? And the other one, he moves with inspiration. He's looking forward to whatever comes up. He enjoys what he's doing, and he's looking forward to it. He moves on it. he gets things done. It's a different kind of life. That's it's probably the most when speaking to parents who are hesitant for whatever reasons about the children learning Yisrael for a year, for 2 years, three, whatever it is, right? So the most important thing that a parent has to realize is that if their child lives their life with a level of islatus, of inspiration, that's a cheerful, happy life. And if a person goes through life without inspiration, without so you're successful in the child becoming a shomer mitzvah, successful in the child learning, but there's no inner excitement, there's no islatus, there's no bounce to life, there's no jump to life, there's no charge to it. So that you have to know what you're creating. So aimless Sharon, in my mind, aimless Sharon cannot put a price on developing a level of inspiration and excitement. Aimless Sharon, because it's a different kind of life. So that's what the Ramchal is saying. The second nida to work on is rizos. So the rizos is not rushing around like a mishogana. Right? Zerizos is not moving it. Zerizos means that there's an inner excitement to do what one's doing. There's a passion, there's a charge to what one's doing, there's electricity to what one's doing. That's Zerizos. Shulchan Aruch wants us to have the Jesus every day. So it sounds like it's a bizarre thing. Only a person on drugs can do that, right? Only a person who's taking something can do that. No, it's not like that. Alright? It's different levels of living. But a person can see that they're davening, that their charge is different after 1 year of learning, 2 years of learning. So Lachos Kama Kama for the lifetime of learning. I remember when I was a kid, I used to see Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's itself. He used to visit the town that I grew up in. So he used to spend four weeks by us in the summer. I remember he was already in his 80s. He moved with such speed. He would climb up stairs at a quicker pace than people that 20, 30 years younger than him. He was a life of learning, a life of godless. You see, if you remember, but different miyot, different pictures you have of Gedolei Yisrael. So as long as they're healthy, right? Because that's how the inspiration builds from one to the other. So that's the idea of Zerizos. And that's what he writes in that one can artificially adopt behaviors of Zerizos, but ultimately that will penetrate and develop a personality of Zerizos. That is in Perek Ches. He says that's in addition to how one achieves Zerizos. In addition, he says there are many ways through one's thought process that one can achieve Zerizos. He says that that's what he writes He writes that if a person wants to achieve Zerizos through the mind, so when goes over and thinks about the tovos that Baruch Hu does for us. When his chaz is over and over, we say modim, you think about the tovos that Baruch Hu does for each one of us. Right? And by chazing over those tovos, the Baruch Hashem has given us health, and he takes care of us, and we have a chance to learn, and we learn in such luxury, and with such comfort, which we learn without daigus. Right? These are unbelievable matanas. This is historically unprecedented. To live in a time when a person can spend the formative years learning. Right? And we didn't have this. I don't know when we had this before. Right? And to do so, and enough to where mules are coming from, enough to worry if the rooms are heated, and these are unprecedented luxuries that Kodesh Baruch Hu has given us. A person has to chazer over these things. That's part of Chal's writing. That's part of nowadays we would look at it as sort of a self-help books. Right, the Chabad Ramchal is not minimizing that Rabbah. That's what Ramchal was writing. The person, by thinking things through over and reminding oneself, so that's how one establishes a strong bond with their Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's how one develops ideas of Zerizos. That if Kadosh Baruch Hu was taking care of me so well, so shouldn't I want to respond with alacrity? All right, with in Yiddish they say, and it's an onomatopoeia, an ubergegebenkeit. to give more than oneself, to be dedicated. Then it doesn't translate well into English, but to be dedicated to something. The Ramchal makes two major points in Tess. One we'll mention now, and we'll have to leave for another time. The one that we'll leave for another time is that, as I pointed out, every so often in Mesusa Sharm, people overlook that the Ramchal has major essays, so to speak, major mamar tucked away. For example, we discussed in the area of Zahirus, the Ramchal has tucked away an essay on that the Kodesh Baruch Hu medaktek with the others that even put a siren, and just collects all the sources for that. In the area of Zerizos, Ramchal addresses the idea that one of the things which dampens Zerizos is pachad. So he describes in Zerizos what is appropriate pachad and what is inappropriate pachad. And that piece is a piece which is ramifications of halach as well. It mirrors the concept of what is a sakana that one has to be nizer from, and what is a sakana that one has to accept upon oneself. So that is an essay tucked away towards the end of Perek Tes. That deserves a separate focus. But another idea which he describes in Zerizos is that ultimately Zerizos yields, or is part of, that part of Zerizos, and that's what I mentioned before, that Zerizos is an expansive idea. That Zerizos is linked up with seeing that one's framework and one's anchor is Avodas Hashem. And everything else which goes on in life is Aroi, is of much less importance. We're looking at Kavu and Aroi, Oil Kavu and Oil Aroi, Mechitzu and Mitzvah Aroi, right? Aroi doesn't necessarily mean that it's not around in 2 days or 3 days. Aroi means it's of lesser significance. Right? That's why an oil kavua doesn't necessarily mean it's mechuba l'karka, it's a binyan kavua. Right? An oil aroi means, according to some, that there's no significant incidental ishtamshus. Aroi means a lesser significance. So when one is accomplishing that one's frame of life, right, is focused on Rishon Hashem. Because if I develop Zerizos, an inner passion, inspiration, by thinking out what a Kodesh Baruch Hu does for me, thereby want to be able to serve Him better. Right. If that's how I, if I develop that kind of relation with the Ribbono Shel Olam, so that generates, that becomes the framework of life, and then other parts of life fit into that framework. Okay, we'll deal with him next week with that one piece in Zahiris, and then time to go on to Nikias. Nikias already is pushing the envelope of where many people get in the Mrs. Hashar. All right, they're already. Okay, good. I speak for myself also for many, many years. Okay, next. We want to finish up Mechitza. Okay, with a few very interesting horrors. Horror number one, which is an interesting horror, once you've seen the Sugya, and you can find it in the Mishneh Berurah, in the Shin. Again, it's very important that you should all learn in whatever form. Either put time aside and learn Shin Gimel, Shin Daled, Shin Tesvav. That's the way to learn Halacha. Done the Sugya in Halacha. Or if you have a Seder in Mishneh Berurah, so then the Seder should focus on these three simanim for the next few days. All right, or Kapha Chaim if you want. And then you also appreciate when you do a suya the godless of the Chavetz Chaim and the godless of the Mishneh Berurah, which when you learn it Kaseder, when it's impossible to appreciate. In Shaar HaTzion Vav, so the Shaar HaTzion points out a ha'ara that I'm sure many of us have thought about. And that is, what is the din of a mechitza kavua? Is a mechitza kavua an isa de'iraisa and isa de'rabbanim? Right? We've had binyan kavua de'iraisa. Right? Binyan aroi, that is de'rabbanim. Oyel kavua tola, correct? De'iraisa. Oyel aroi, de'rabbanim. The terim that we've discussed, Tosafa, right? Oyel aroi, then oyel kavua. Mechitza, we've learned in the Machlekes Rashi Tosfos, where the Mechitza Aroi, is there an Isur Mechitza Aroi altogether? Rashi says no, this is a Mechitza Materis. Alright? What about Mechitza Kavua? So, let's go slow. We know that if it's a Mechitza that is attached to our house, it's a Mechitza, of course it's a Raisa. Say, Sof Al Binyan. Correct? Alright? The thumbtack is an Isur De Raisa. So, Mechitza, they set up a new wall. What about if it's a mechitza kavua, but it's not mechuvah to my house? I move a mechitza into place, it's going to stay there. I roll a mechitza on wheels, and it's now going to stay there for a week, for 2 weeks. What's the din? A mechitza kavua, I put it into place, I have in mind now. I have in mind, you have so many times, now you have offices. Where the offices often will take over a huge room without any walls, and they'll move in room dividers, and they'll create office space by moving in room dividers. And they're supposed to be there, they stay there. So if a person moves the room divider in on Shabbos, to make it easier, constructs a room divider on Shabbos, and the intent is to leave it there for some period of time, Isur de'iraisa or Isur de'rabbanan. Nope, what would you say? Mechitza kavua that's not mechuvah. No, what did you say? Was that based on what? Which Rambam? No, go ahead.
Yeah, right. So, because the whole idea of Rashi and the book is about not having the chitzis for themselves. They're able to mechala because they're abundant, but the deraisa.
Why?
Why should you not have
it? Okay, right, go ahead.
Just against what Danny was saying.
Yeah.
God, if there's no God, so you can't even start talking about an ohel. The purpose of an ohel or of any binyan is to give you a shelter. So even in English, you call it shelter. So the mechitzas, I would think, would definitely, I mean, I don't know which way to go. Well, also, but I think it would definitely be different than a gag.
Good. What did you say, Effie?
I said the Raisa, because two reasons. One, because in Mishkan, we talked about the wives, which is wrong, they're living in the
kingdom. Whoa. What happened to the Iris and the oil? The Tachash?
Sounds like in the Yerushalmi, that it was just
the crush them. Okay, good.
And there's also the Kneo Shua in Sukha that says the Baracha of Kenya is building in the days of the church, or how would you talk to
it? Is there any shoes over there again? Right. And Gog. Right. But it's a hard thing to justify. Well, it doesn't fit in the Lashon of I've seen it quoted someplace. But it's hard to. Who goes in? Which one? For my son. Okay. David? Good. So this, go ahead, Josh?
I don't know the issue of whether it applies to Gog or Ohel, but even if it doesn't, or Ohel, or just a regular wall. Even if it doesn't apply just a regular wall, I think we say that when we said that when it's a matir, it becomes like it's a wall, creates its own shows.
Right.
So like it creates a guy. So even if you don't have a guy, you see that it can still
be what? Because they seem to be honest, you like some of the Raisa. So we did very well, Baruch Hashem, because according to the state of the Shabbos, they said that this issue was not discussed. I could never say such a thing. It's not discussed by any Rishonim that you cannot find in Shulchan Aruch or a Torah Shulchan Aruch. So we did very well. It's Svaris and maybe Bnei Yeshua. Right? So that's very good. He said, it's the first, apparently, Again, I assume that they did very well the research. That apparently the first one, first Sefer discusses openly is the Prima Gadim that the Mishneh Berurah quotes in the Shaar Tzion on Ois Vav. Shin Ois Vav. The Prima Gadim seems to say that it's an Yisrael Deiraisa. Teisefes Kavua Bo'el Kavua Osim HaTorah. So again, you said, well, you have to realize, I mean, what you begin when you do a sugya ve'iyan, you appreciate the Mishneh Berurah, you appreciate the Chofetz Chaim. That's what he's pointing out of you, that this is apparently a something which is not discussed. This is a mechit, a kavu, and he said, they write, he's a durban. The Prima Gadim is the first one. Now, the Mishneh Berurah writes in Sif Katan Vav, that he uses the word osir and not chayiv. So again, Laniyah's like that, I would have said that we cannot be medayik with that kind of precision in any achma, even the Chavetz Chaim. Mishlomo Zalman is quoted by the Sefer Shusha Shabbos that he is apparently libo nota to say it's Issa Drabanan because he has no source for it. That a mechitza kavua, even Hol Kavu be Issa Drabanan. And therefore, Mishlomo Zalman raised the question of whether the fact that the Mishneh Berurah writes Osir, and then only in the footnote he writes Chayiv, whether the Chofetz Chaim wanted to indicate that he himself felt it might only be Issa Drabanan. Mishlomo Zalman makes it hard. But again, so what we want to, this is a piece of the puzzle that we have to sort of fit into our construction of the era of the Melach Avoyna. Right, and a mechitza kavua, binyan kavua. It's not mechuber. So if you're megadim, so that would be nisa deraisa. Right, nisa deraisa. I mean, lachora, I think the svaras that you suggested that it's deraisa, I think that makes sense. I think that one could suggest that kavias can come by. Here we're saying that kavias comes by design. Right, that's not being nailed down.
Maybe we could say that a mechitza kavua that's not mechubar lekarka would be considered like a bona kli.
Why bona kli?
What would be the chiluk between a kli and a mechitza that's eino mechubar lekarka?
So just like the Ran said that when you get to a certain size, 40 saw.
So you could say it's a kli gadol.
Well, no, but that's already called kli gadol size is already called like mechubar. No, it's called part of this. It's part of the mechubar. It's domed to mechubar, right? So that I would think that it could be
that say that it should be domed to mechubar here.
That's right. That's what I would think. We domed to mechubar. Okay. Next interesting gemara is I was always wondering about this halacha lamasa, and I was very happy to find that it also is not mechubar any place. When we talk, I was being very, very careful that when we speak about mechitza, they always discuss constructing a mechitza. What's the halacha if you move a mechitza? In other words, let's say you have a mechitza materis. Let's take a case of mechitza materis. You have a, let's take an easy case, you have a sukkah. And you have a schach, right? You have a huge amount of schach, right? And then you have two walls. Now you have a third wall. Okay? So, lunch, you have an intimate meal. So the third wall is wheeled in to a third of this room. Right? Tomorrow, Shabbos, and Shabbat brachos. So you want to wheel it out. What's the din? Right? What's the din? It's mechitza materis. But you're not constructing a mechitza materis. Less van the polling than if you would take a chair, two chairs, and you drape over two chairs a wall, then you've made a mechitza materis. You've now included this whole area to be part of your sukkah. That's an itzer mechitza materis, machlekes, Rashi tells me, passing that the osir. What is the din if you wheel your mechitza? You move it out. You don't construct the mechitza. All right, it's a very common shot. Look, what would you say? What was that? You mean massive space? So then, you know, I think Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that he thinks also you're mechamish Rav Shlomo Zalman. He thinks it would be awesome, but apparently also there's no core for this. Apparently, it's not clear anyplace. This apparently is written. You know, there are these new svarim that are coming out. Rav Shlomo Zalman's svarim. So one of the new svarim is called the Shulchan Shlomo, along the lines of Shulchan Aruch. So he found an exam the other is this issue. He says the money. I think it's that it would be osir to move a mechitza shlema as well as mechitza materis. All right. Then take another example, which is not so dramatic. All right. Let's say you have a mechitza materis and you want to move it a foot. Right. You have a mechitza materis in your backyard that allows you to carry. Right. It's in the middle of your backyard. Now you're going to move it a foot over. So that'd be an easier. So. That's the shalom. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says he thinks the money. He's not sure. I mean, he's not sure, but it means he's no clear makor that moving and that's probably the most common question of mechitza. Yeah.
I mean,
Is
can we just say that it's because when you call it mechitza matar, it's not the making of the mechitza that's also. The fact that it reads.
Oh, okay, let's focus on that for a moment. Let's see if that's correct. Let's see if that's correct. Altman? Okay, good. So let's focus on that. So let's chazir. A mechitza hamateris. What are the two classic cases of mechitza hamateris? The classic case is the matur tiltul. That's the case of the Gemara in Erevin. Sunny Memdalit. Right, it's clear. You're now being matir eating in this area of the sukkah. Next is being matir. Matir and tiltul and memdal and sadidal being matir achilu v'sukkah. Right, that's clear. Correct. What are the cases that we've learned from the Acharonim? So that is what the Mishnah Berurah points out in Shin Tesvav. In Sif Hay. No. In Sif Yud. No, there are both. Yes, there are both. The Rambam will also lasayis mechitza b'fnei or haner kidei shishamish mikosin v'chein l'fnei svarim kidei shamish ulasis tzrochav if lo yishayim if oyoyim tefach shos muta lo yisif alav b'shamas Mordechai Reish Perek here. Yeah. Alright. That's the mechitza materis. All right, so that's clear. What is a clear example of a mechitza which is not lahatir? That's a mechitza of privacy. Let's see this. The Mishnah Berurah quotes of Mordechai. I was not able to find this one. I've seen it several times. Did you read? I told you that Mordechai. Did you find this Mordechai? Yeah. About the drasha?
Yeah.
Where is it? Let's. This is the Mordechai is often quoted in the Mechitza Shir.
The one with the
Rosh Mimetz. Where is it? Which, the two, this Mordechai, about the Maram Rottenberg, that he all set up a mechitza when he went to the bathroom. Which parent? And then there's the Mordechai of the Drasha. In any event, where is it? Yeah, where is that? No, in the Mordechai. I know the Mishmar. I'm trying to find the Mordechai. I can't find it. Anyways, I've seen it, but I can't. I wasn't able to find it this morning. I was looking for. So the Mordechai writes that they the Mordechai. What's that? You have it? The Mordechai writes it was a minhag that when they went to learn, when they had a drasha, so they would have a machitza between the men and the women. So he said, but setting up that machitza and Shabbos, that would not be an isur de rabbanon. Why? Because having a machitza between men and women b'shas limud is a minhag. It wasn't maturated. If it wouldn't be a machitza, they could still sit there and learn. Right? So that's it. That's pushing the envelope of the machitza, which is not lahatir. Correct? So those are, we have examples now. Now it has to be understood. What do we leave open? What's in between the two examples? What's about a machitza for davening? Right? The machitza for davening and machitza for simcha. Where is it?
What's
in Aram
again?
What's in Aram?
He doesn't talk about the drasha. He's talking about Talmud. He's talking about the machitza as well.
Right. They couldn't find this one. There's one line about the drasha.
I don't think he talks about the Masik Talmud and Mishnah and the Kamas.
Yeah. No, this is also just the Aram's name. Yeah. This is Hagoy, it should never be more handed. Should be back here someplace. Okay, let's see if we can find it. So, Machitza for davening, alright? What's the issue? Because, what's the argument of the Shabbaton case? Alright? They get into the room, and there's no Machitza set up for, this could be now, could be even Lamais again. Let's say you had the foresight to set up a machitza, but you didn't realize that you're going to have so many people coming. You found it?
Yes.
Where is it? Shin again? Shin Nun. Which parak? Was that? The parak Shin Nun? Good, good. This is my Ram. Good. Rabbi, did they have the drasha there? This is my Ram. The Ram used to have a machitza where he went to the bathroom. But I couldn't find that he said that the line of a drasha there also. So I forget if he said Midas Chasidus or if he said that it's a Minhag. So when it comes to when it comes to davening, was that?
It's right there.
Shin what? Shin Aleph?
Shin
Yud Aleph. Okay. Oh, okay. That's it. Good. Thank you very much. Right. Good. Very good. The bottom of the 145. Thank you very much. So he says over there, "V'hanim mechitz she'esvim l'serach sniyos." Abu mechitz she'esvim sniyos ba'alma muter. Gigoy mechitz she'oisin b'shas drasha ben anoshim anoshim muter l'sisu b'shabbos. Because that is only a. So because we could learn without the mechitz being there, so that's why yeish darsh l'kan yeish l'shkan. Those who are advocates of having mechitzes. Between during learning, they say, "You see that in Hamim Mordechai they had a window, they have machitzas." And those who don't advocate say, "Yeah, because Mordechai says it's not required; it's only sneeze, only a minute." So that's the But the point again, what's the point for davening? All right. So for davening, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the Arachayim, I think Chelek Aleph, he writes that it's an isur they raise it to daven down a machitza. Why is it their Isa? How can they, where does it say you can't have a machitza? There's a yalk or anything that says that you have to daven, you can't daven in dalet amos of a woman. But a machitza, well, so his raya is, if I remember correctly, his raya is because the Gemara says in Sukkah that they made a mechitza in the Ezra's Noshim for Simchas Beis HaShoeva. And it's a din that you cannot be Moisef Shia Zomra. You have a nice idea. It would look nice to have bleachers in the... Also, you can't add on to the Azara. You can't start putting walls up in the Azara without a Navi. So it says the pasuk the Darshan. Then once the Navi gives us the blueprint for the Mikdash, it's set. Right? So the revelation said, if that's the case, how could the Gemara say that they tikkun gadol asu, that they set up bleachers, and first they put the men on the outside, the women on the inside, and then it didn't work. So they put the women on the bleachers, the men in the middle. But that's the Azari you're talking about, experimenting with construction. The Azari, so it must be that the mitzvah deraisa to be worried about kalos roish b'shas avodas Hashem b'shas tefillah. So whatever. You have to accomplish this no kalas rosh. Whatever it takes to accomplish no kalas rosh, that's part of the binyan hamikdash. So if the dairies change, and if one generation requires a bigger separation for no kalas rosh, that is required midin deraisa. That's the only way you can say that this is part of binyan hamikdash. That's the mark. All right. So therefore, you could conclude based on this. Right, that it's a mechitza materas, and without the mechitza, Rav Moshe says, and he said, they rise it up. Ain lachal mechitza materas gedolam isa. Correct? Not so fast. Why not? Because, as the Samachronim point out, right? They also Shabbos point this out. What's the svara liidach? Svara liidach is that whereas every mechitza he's spoken about until now is a mechitza which al pi din is defined as a mechitza. It has halachic requirements. A mechitza for tilto, a mechitza for eating in the sukkah, a mechitza to be matir tashish if there's light in the room, is a mechitza al pi din. 10 tefachim high, right? 4 amas long. And let's say if it doesn't touch the ground, it's more than 3 tefachim off the ground, that's the din. It's not a mechitza. Mechitza is luya. Levud doesn't work. Less than 3 tefachim, levud works. And what happens? It's a gaping hole in the middle, running the entire length of the mechitza. But that gaping hole is less than 3 tefachim. All right, still a mechitza. What happens if I start setting up strings, and each of them are less than 3 tefachim? Still a mechitza, right? What about in shul? If I take a mechitza and I set up these thin strings, each of them 3 tefachim apart, but if in shul I have a mechitza which is only goes up 10 tefachim, but if in shul I have a mechitza, so we would say that's not the point of the mechitza. Was the mechitza to remove a talus rosh, that mechitza that's 34 inches high and men and women standing next to each other, right, doesn't take away talus rosh. As a Rav Moshe came up with this year, it has to be 16 inches high. It's a svara. Mechitza takes away kalas rosh, right? So the argument is, right? It comes back to this nakuda. Is it the fact that since in this case the mechitza which is matir is not a mechitza b'taras mechitza? It's really it's the mechitza b'teres snias. We have to discourage men and women looking at each other. So the way that we discourage them having a wall in between, we have to discourage mingling. So to, the way to discourage them having a wall in between. So the mechitza is not set up miteras mechitza al pidin mechitza, right? In other words, the svaras that we said last week, that the mechitza creates a new rishus. So here in this case, the mechitza need not create a new rishus. Right? But these are the svaras that are involved in almost all the controversial mechitzas. The svaras are all, what is the yisoid of mechitza? Is the yisoid of mechitza to three different positions? is the four pieces, maybe three. Is the zod of machitza so that there should not be a staklos based on the lashon around the parish of Mishnayis and Hilchos Sukkah and Masechta Sukkah. So that means you have to have a machitza that goes above the height of people. It has to be a 6-7 foot machitza. That's the approach in most chassidish places. Based on the Rambam and Pirush Mishnayis, the machitza is to avoid istaklus, to rule out istaklus. Next, position of most of the non-chassidish places is the machitza there in order to discourage istaklus, to discourage intermingling. Right? It's not a machitza that has to be there to make sure no one looks, but to make sure that to discourage kalas rosh. So what? How high must the mechitza be? Revelation Hashem, a shoulder height, 6 inches high, has to create an ambience of separateness. Has to create inaccessibility. Right? That's why you can have a mechitza which is solid till a certain height and glass above a certain height. Because the thinking is, all svaros. Because the thinking is that glass above a certain height will still discourage, it still creates an ambience of separateness. An ambience of no kalos rosh. It still creates a sense of inaccessibility to each other. Right? That's probably that's the mainstream approach. That approach. All right? Then there's another approach, which is a minority view, was written up in many years ago by Rav Yehuda Herzl Henkin, that mechitza between them is taka mechitza like a mechitza al pidin, 10 tefachim high, 40 inches, 4 amos long, right? So that is, and that is this, that is the basis for when a person in a very, very tight situation, why some poskim were makom with those kinds of mechitzas. In other words, the mechitzas were shuls that didn't want to have a mechitza, and it was a fight to get the mechitza in. So they rather difficulty trying to get a mechitza. So he was able to get a mechitza, which is 35 to 30, decide where they come from. They came from this position that's the mechitza al pidin. Sometimes you have a rabbi who goes into a very difficult situation, but the goal is to be able to makar of the shul. It's happened many times successful, but not successful. But so postly will tell him, look, if you can get this kind of mechitz in, go with that kind of mechitz, and then see if you can have ashpa in the community. What's the basis for that? And the basis of the answer is, the basis for the mechitz part of the answer, is this concept that will be samech on those who said that a mechitza that it all requires a mechitza al pidin mechitza. There's a chumrah, because that is also the mechitza to be under the ground. As according to the mainstream approach, the mechitza could be more than 3 tefachim off the ground, right? And according to this approach, that it's a mechitza al pidin, then you can't. It has to be within 3 tefachim from the ground, right? So that's the because you can't you have to work with the din of levud, all right? Those are the three shitas to rule out istaklus, to discourage istaklus, or mechitza al-kid. Now coming back to our shayla. So since it's going with the mainstream approach, right? The mainstream approach is a religious approach. It's required in the Torah, but it's not a mechitza al pidin mechitza. It may not be mechitza creating a new rishus. So then the question is, so what's the din? Is it a mechitza materis because it creates a heter, the option of now davening? Or do we say, no, the idea of a mechitza materis is a mechitza al pidin, a mechitza creates a separate rishus? It's not stam the heter. It's not the fact that it creates a heter. It's that the fact that it creates a heter shows us that it's a new rishus, right? So that's the nakuda of it, which is not ironed out in the svarim. Again, we explained Rashi and Tosha say, and it's important to see where the ambiguity creeps in. What's clear is that Tosha said in the Shulchan Aruch quotes mechitza materis. Good. Next, we were a masbir that din that a mechitza materis creates a new rishus. So a new rishus minirvan is a new construction, right? We were mazvi that in that way. Okay? But that's a hezer. So mechita materis is the materis in the London Shachem, which is it the siva or the simen? Is the mechita materis the siva? Right? It creates a heter. It had such a significant, such a choshev impact at the mechita. Right? It's chashivas. It gave me the right to daven over here. Right? It's matir chivur. It's matir tiltos, chashivas. If it's chashivas, then the heter is the siva. Right? If on the other hand, we're not looking at chashivas, we're looking at, is we want to evaluate, right, whether this is a mechitza al bidin. The way to evaluate it is, did it create a heter? Is it, that's the simen, that's a significant mechitza. Mechitza al bidin. Oh, but when it creates the heter of davening, it doesn't create the heter of davening via creating a new rishos. It creates the heter of davening via removing kalos rosh. Oh, so that's a different, that's not the mechitza we're talking about. That's the nekudas ha-machloikas over here. Which is not really written, I don't know where it's written up. I know that the Osh HaShavas is makil on that basis. Right? Now, where would we find this machloikas that we're looking for? That's the Mogen Avraham Mishneh Berurah. Right? They look at the Mishneh Berurah. Please look at it. Shin Tes Vav. Os Yud. So there the Mishneh quotes the Mogen Avraham. The Mogen Avraham says that if they have a couple and there is Svarim in the room and they want to be Tiyam on a Pibur. Right? So there are two approaches. There's a light on the room. There are two approaches. One approach is the Mechitz approach. The Svarim in a separate room. The beds are over here. The Svarim are over there. Right? So one approach is make a Mechitz over here. Separate rooms, fine, mutter. The other approach is cover the Svarim. Alright? So now let's make it a little bit easier. So let's say I have a pile of Svarim over here and the beds over here. So one approach is Mechitz. The other approach is take two sheets and cover the Svarim. Two sheets is a Kisa Gav Kisoi mutter. Alright? Fine. Two sheets is not a machitza. It's a cover. It's a bag. Fine. Mutter. What happens if I, this is a Mogen Avraham Safek now. Mogen Avraham Zinn, I should say. Let's say the Svarim over here. So instead of making a machitza, I put a sheet over the bookshelf. Alright? So that, is that a machitza or is that a cover? Kisoi Balma. So the Mogen Avraham says that is not a machitza. Why? Because when you put up that sheet, what was going through your mind? Was it going through your mind, it better not be within 3 feet off the ground, it better be 30 inches high, right? It better be Dalai Lama. No! What was going through your mind, it better cover the Svarim. If it was going through your mind, it better cover the Svarim, that means that it's a kisa, not a machitza. If it was going through my mind, that I better make sure it's Yitzvachim, Dalai Lama's, and I can use Lavud, then it's a machitza. So you see the Mogen Avraham holds. Right, and this is what the Mishneh Berurah says, that the Mogen Avraham held that we're looking at Mechitza, Beteris Mechitza, and he quotes the Levush, the Eliyahu Rabbah, and the Chemed Moshe, and the Mamre Mordechai, as holding, no, we're not looking at the Din Mechitza, we're looking at the Chashivas of a Mechitza. Right? Alter Rebbe and the Mogen Avraham are looking at the Din of a Mechitza. So let's just follow through now. The Alter Rebbe and the Mogen Avraham said, we're looking at the din of a mechitza. That means the matir, the mechitza materis is the simen. But we really need a mechitza al pidin, create a reshus in the svar that we gave on Tuesday, that they have to understand the din. Memela, you'd be allowed to set up a mechitza ben anashim l'anashim on Shabbos. They would be makel on the Shabbaton case. The Mamar Mordechai, the Chevet Moshe, and the Eliyahu Rabbah said, no. Materis is the Siva. Materis is the Chashivas of the Mechitza. As long as it's Matir, that's a Mechitza. Memela, they would say that a Mechitza which is Matir, Davening, and Anoshim and Anoshim, that is a Chashiv Mechitza. But it's also set up in Shabbos. And the Mishneh Berurah says we should follow the Mogen Avraham B'Shas Adchak. In other words, that's what you have to know. That's the din. Erev Shabbos, you set up a mechitza. But on Shabbos, let's say you come to the room on Shabbos, and then someone took down the mechitza. Right? So then, and this is the place of daven. Right? And you don't have another alternative. So then, we would be making like the Mogen Avraham, like the Alter Rebbe. Alright? That would be the din. Alright? One more mechitza. That mechitza, the final mechitza, the mechitza of sheva brachas, the mechitza of having a partying. Why is that the issue? What is the whole issue of separate seating come up? The whole issue of separate seating comes from a Beis Shmuel in Eben Ezer, I believe, quoting a sefer Achisidim. What did he say? He said that having sheva brachas together. So when you say sheva brachas, you say nevarach alakenu shesimcha bim ono, right? So he says, but if the men and women are sitting together, can't say shesimcha mamono, because Baruch is not excited about this, right? You have sheva brachas, we add in shesimcha mamono, because Baruch was excited about the simcha bim ono in his place, right? Only by sheva brachas. This is a machloek that our Chachamim discussed whether we should say by a siyum. We only say this phrase, Nevarach Elokeinu Shechalnu Onav Shechalnu Mishalau Vay Shevet Brachos. Since Sefer Chassidim, not if it's mixed eating. He can't say Shechalnu Onav when it's separate, when it's mixed eating. Right? So therefore, there are three different approaches. There are those who say it's only Sefer Chassidim, the Beis Shmuel. All right? It wasn't Mekubal. There are those who say, yeah, I just told you, that's Sefer Tzidim. And those who say, we'll eat together, and we won't say Shasim Chavamalach. So the question here is, Al-Pidim, if you hold that you're supposed to have, if you're of the opinion that this Sefer Chassidim just mandated separate seating, right? So therefore, you're of the opinion that this Sefer Chassidim just said that with mixed seating you can say Shesimcha Mono, and with mixed seating, with separate seating, you are now, you're just matir saying Shesimcha Mono. So with setting up that mechitza, be a osir in shams. So Ania's daiti would be mutter in shams. Why? Number one is that clearly according to the Magen Avraham and the Alter Rebbe would not be a problem to set up in shams. Number two is, I don't believe that the Sefer Chassidim has to be mechitza. It has to be separate, if I remember correctly. But then I have to check up again, Sefer Chassidim. So I don't know if the mechitza is the important part, or if the just the separateness. But even then, I'm not sure if we would say, even if I'm wrong in both counts, if it's possible like the Imam of Mordechai, and that he requires a mechitza, I don't know what the idea of being, whether saying Shesim Chamonu is a mechitza materis. I'm not sure the same significance that being matir, another shevach of Kodesh Baruch Hu is very, very important. Maybe I'm belittling it. I don't know. Maybe I'm minimizing it. But to my mind, being matir another nusach, that's not on the same level as being matir chivor or being matir tefila, being matir tiltul, matir tiltul. I don't see it in the same category. But that maps out for us the discussion of mechitzas. And these are the basic mikoros. There's one other that is all discussed in the area, in the whole discussion, when it comes up, not in the context of mechitzas and shabbos. Obviously, there are almost only a few other mikoros. Okay, so okay, let's try to come back at 1:30. It's a very pretty shiur. And a very important Rabban, as I should say, a very important Rabban, and a very pretty idea from Rav Simcha Zissel. And then please go on to the next sugya, Cheresh of Sikresha, and we'll pick up next week in Rav Simcha. Yeah.